Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. Today, I am thrilled to introduce you to Jeff Carroll, owner and head of marketing at Vibressa Beer in Front Royal, Virginia. Originating from a bold idea in historic Front Royal, the founders envisioned a haven for great beer and food. Over a few brews, they decided to invest their time and resources to make great beer and food a reality. After many false starts, they opened their doors in 2018 as Front Royal Brewing Company. They thrived, expanding to Winchester in 2022. And now Jeff joins us to share their journey's highlights and the exciting future ahead. Welcome to the show, Jeff. It's great to have you on today.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
This is such a delight. This is a new dad right here. He had running just a little bit behind because a six-month-old baby had some needs. How many kids does that make it for you?
This
now?
Is my first, so I'm going through the whole fatherhood thing first time. Navigating it, so.
Okay, and you know you can't break her, right?
I know, mine.
Or is it a daughter?
It's a daughter, little baby girl at home, so.
All right. I want you to start by telling us a little bit more about how you got started and the story behind Vibressa Beer, because it's not even the same name, and I don't even know what Vibressa really means.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's a long story together, but I'll kind of go from the beginning here. So Front Royal Brewing Company started about 6 years ago now. We have seven different investors that came together and wanted to kind of make Front Royal, you know, it's a great location. It's a great trail town. And we kind of just wanted more things to happen and more businesses and people to come to Front Royal. It's a beautiful place to live. And we just thought a brewery was it was at a time when breweries were becoming popular and thought it would be a great addition to the town. So we kind of all got together and had a vision of Front Royal Brewing Company, many of us living in the town. Started up, you know, had our struggles of any restaurant. Learned that none of us were in the restaurant industry or brewing industry before. So just getting over those humps and learning and staying afloat for the first couple of years was our thing. But after we figured out how to run the business, we became pretty successful and profitable, and realized it was, like, if we wanted to continue the business and the growth of it, that we needed another location. So that was when we decided to open up the Winchester location. And with that, then we changed the name to Vibressa Beer. So one of the reasons why we changed the name is, you know, Front Royal is very, like, dear to us and to the people around here. I don't know if it means so much to people in Winchester or to people, you know, from other states that don't know Front Royal as the home like we do. So we just wanted a name that was more, you know, could be branded more, not with a destination, but with, like, for multi-states. We want to get into distribution and start going into other states. And Vibressa was the name that we chose at that time. So Vibressa means as well.
Read my mind.
Yeah,
I think saw my face. It screamed the question.
So Vibressa is actually came from the Latin word vibresse, which is mammals' whiskers and how they interact with other mammals or things around them. So it was kind of like how they act in social settings, and that's how we related to beer and just what we came up with. So the name kind of stuck, and then that's where we're at now.
That is very fascinating. Mm-hmm. Were there a few beers involved drinking coming up?
Not really. Okay. We actually at the time we had a brewer that was also trying to open up a brewery in Winchester called Vibersa Beer. So we kind of partnered with him, and it was at the time he was trying to open up Vibersa Beer. We kind of merged together, opened up the two locations under Vibersa Beer. So it was kind of his baby and his name that we kind of adopted going
forward.
I see. Yeah.
And how many owners are there?
There are 7 owners now.
Okay.
So, a lot of people involved. So
how does that work? The 7 owners of a brewery, do you have strategy meetings? You meet regularly?
Yeah.
How does the communication system work when there are 7 owners?
So a lot of them are just investors. Mm-hmm. That
like silent partners.
Yeah, like silent partners. But we get together quarterly to talk about finances and vision and everything like that. So they do are involved in that sense. We have strategy meetings weekly with our management team of just the operational stuff mm-hmm. throughout the day, where one of the owners, Carrie Barnhart, is the president here, and she kind of runs and manages the day-to-day operations. So
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did these other owners just see the success and just start approaching you all to want to buy in?
No. They were the initial owners as well. So
okay.
We had 7 of the startup people. So they're part of it from day one, all of them. So it's been good.
It's been really amazing. And that's what inspired the second location mm-hmm. opening.
Mm-hmm.
And how has the reception been in Winchester?
It's been good. They're different locations where Front Royal is more of a sit-down restaurant and kind of a smaller location. The Winchester is a big production brewery and kind of an open space where... I don't know if you've been to like the bigger breweries or wineries around here, but there's not as many servers.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of like get up and do what you want. We have an outdoor court and everything like that. And then we do sourdough pizza out of there, where we don't do.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's really good. and we don't do that here. We don't have a pizza oven. So we're really into the sourdough pizza there. So it's a little bit different experience, but we try and like keep the beers all the same. Some of the food items are the same, and try and keep the same culture through both locations, even though they're a little different. So,
okay. This is, you know, inquiring minds just have to know.
Oh yeah, I know.
So here's my question. I had the Baja fish tacos here.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
Awesome.
Is that available in Winchester also?
I actually don't know.
This is what happens when you get multiple locations. How can I keep up?
Yeah. We have two different chefs in both locations now, and they're very creative in their own way. So they're allowed the freedom to come up with some differences in the menu. We do have some things like the burgers are the same in both locations. The fries are same in both locations. So some menu items we keep, but we want to give the chef some freedom to kind of be creative and do what they want to do as well. So,
But the beers, you say,
the beers
are similar in both locations.
That
so
is true.
Right now, this is the Park Pass. This mm-hmm. apparently, according to your bartender, is a very popular beer that's been, I guess, an original.
Yep.
What can you tell us about this Park Pass?
So this is Park Pass. It's our Helles Lager. It's our number one made beer here and our number one selling beer here. It's a German style Helles Lager, very traditional. When we started this company, we really were into traditional styles and West Coast IPAs, and that it kind of shows through this. A couple years back, we took 2nd in the Great American Beer Festival.
Congratulations!
With this beer, and we were pretty stoked about that. We just really like really clean, crisp quality beer, and so it's our front runner and one of our mainstays, and we always have we'll always have Park Pass available here at both locations because
it's really good.
Yeah.
And so. Apparently not just on tap, if I am observing correctly, you can get this to go. I'm looking at this correctly.
Yeah, so we can almost all of our beers here in both locations. And then we do have a small distribution footprint in Virginia and a little bit in Maryland right now as well. So.
Okay.
You can get them in the stores around there too.
All right. For those of you not familiar with the Shenandoah Valley area, Winchester is north, a little bit west of here.
Yep. It's about 45 minutes from mm-hmm. here, a little bit north.
And still considered him to be a part of the Shenandoah Valley.
Mhm.
So that's two. Where is the rest of this distribution imprint? So we have global listeners, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah, throughout the state and U.S. So where would they go?
Right now, we're all over the state of Virginia. So anywhere in Virginia, we have some distro in D.C. right now as well. And then we just started in Maryland. So in specific places in Maryland, we're starting small and growing at a pretty good pace right now, what we can handle, but in specific places there. But the goal is to kind of be all up and down the East Coast. We want part like that beer Park Pass. We want to be as many hands as possible and try and get the word out that we're making some pretty good beer in the Shenandoah Valley. So that's the goal going forward.
Which is why it was an excellent decision by you to be on this podcast today. I have a curious question about these to-go beers. Mm-hmm. I feel like more breweries got into canning beers during the pandemic. Would you say that is an accurate statement?
Yes, that is definitely an accurate statement. I would say during the pandemic, a lot of breweries had to pivot and change what they were doing just to stay afloat. We shut down all of our tap rooms, went to delivery and to go. And, you know, we with minimum overhead, I was actually one of the ones like on the road delivering beer, delivering food, you know, and we had one person in the kitchen, two delivery drivers, and we were able to just like skate through during that time. So I think a lot of people had to do that. The government and some of the brewing associations in Virginia helped that. We're allowing laws. You know, we were allowed to make liquor drinks to be delivered, which was new thing in Virginia. A lot of people got, you know, grants for getting canning lines and getting some additional help to be able to stay afloat. So I think it was a trying time for a lot of people, but yes, I think a lot of people moved into cans because that was the only way to get the product at that time. So,
and now the payoff is continuing to.
I will
bless
say
the breweries. I would say right.
Maybe.
Or is there
I would say
see what I don't know, laughers.
I would say
stay in your lane, Dawn. I know.
I would say that with that there is a. You know, craft beer is becoming more and more popular. And over the past 5 years, there's been a lot of saturation in beer, in craft beer in America, where more and more brewers are making really good beer. Like there's there's not a lot of secrets in the brewing industry. Like a lot of people are making really good beer now. So it's how do you stand out and how do you like market yourself to set yourself apart? So, yes, it's good that a lot of them do it, but the competition has grown in, I think over those last three, like COVID years to
making
like,
it's hard.
It's more competitive in the market and especially in distribution. Now you can walk into a craft beer store and there's 100 selections. So how do you get yours picked out of those, out of that selection? So
that's a great question. And you couldn't have set up the segue more beautifully for the next question.
Nice.
I appreciate that, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you got it.
Because I want to talk about how you do set yourself apart. Yeah. What are your methods, your approaches? Can you elaborate on how your philosophy influences and sets apart your brewing process and offerings?
Yeah. So, So I think there's two. I think there's two parts of it. The first part is making really good beer. We have a brew team here. Jared Qualix, our head brewer, he's been with us for.
Is that who was here earlier?
No. Okay. That's his name's Tommy. He's one of the other brewers here.
Okay.
But Jared's been with us for I think about 4 or 5 years now, and he makes very, very good beer. He's dedicated to his process, and you know, he's learned over the years that he's been here how to the steps and how to make really, really consistent, really good beer. So I think the liquid in the package is the number one thing. If we made bad beer, like, doesn't matter the marketing, people wouldn't drink it because it's bad. So that's the first part of it.
Yes.
And then, like I said, I think a lot of people are making there's no secret in our Helles Lager compared to, you know, the next Helles Lager. We're all using the same ingredient, or we have access to the same ingredients. We have access to the knowledge of the process of it. Like, it's not really a secret. So it's just being dedicated to making sure that you're hitting those processes in the correct sequence, and making sure that you're not skipping any steps in them. And then once that, how do you set yourself away from everyone else that's mm-hmm. making great Helles Lager? Which is the real question. I would say, so our brand has been really good for us. We're settled in the Front Royal, which is right next to the Shenandoah Valley and the Skyline Drive and the Shenandoah River. So mm-hmm. we're in a beautiful spot where hiking, canoeing, outdoor activities like that are very accessible. So we kind of took that branding and applied it to all of our beers, and to, if you go into our tap rooms, you can see, like, there's a lot of outdoor experiences. So that's kind of our brand. And really, we're trying to, we want to bring notice to this area and Front Royal and how beautiful it is, and how you can spend a weekend out here, mm-hmm. you know, hiking, going on the river, and then have some amazing craft beer in the valley. So that's kind of our vision, and then just trying to get that out to people. And that's we want to experience when you come to our brew house. So it's not, or to our brewery, it's not just the great food, the great people, the beer, but what's surrounding, what else can you do around here? So that's kind of through our business, that's what we're trying to market. So
and this is exactly why Jeff is on the Virginia Is for Laughers podcast. So if this is your very first podcast, we will clarify mm-hmm. that this is a podcast about all things non-hiking in the Shenandoah Valley, which is why we're sitting here at Vibrissa Beer mm-hmm. to check this out and let you know about the many things you can do besides hiking around mm-hmm. here. And Front Royal is a beautiful stop in the Shenandoah Valley.
It is. And I think it's came a long way just in the 6-7 years that I've lived here. I've seen so many good businesses and so many good people just move to the area. It's growing, and it's getting really cool to walk downtown and see mm-hmm. a bunch of a vibrant downtown and a lot of people here, I'm just excited for the next step in Front Royal and what the next 10 years have to offer.
Yeah,
here,
what so. The next chapter is going to be It's going to be really amazing. Yes, I enjoy your beer very much. I mm-hmm. have the park pass here myself, and I paired it well with my fish tacos. But mm-hmm. you know what else I love to pair it with?
What's that?
Well, obviously, this absurdly flavorful gourmet popcorn from Pre-Popsterous. This is amazing popcorn. Mm. Oh, yeah. Is this your first time ever trying this?
This is my first time. This is my first time ever trying it.
Oh, my gosh. This is really great. Mm. They are located in Bridgewater, Virginia.
Mm, really good.
Yes, they're Shenandoah Valley's only award-winning popcorn.
I got the cheddar one here. What one do you have here?
This is like this multi-flavor Easter little.
Yeah.
They have these little packets you can get too. So you can get tens, you can get the sleeve that he has, you can get the little pocket size. And they also started making marshmallows.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I know. You can't go wrong there at all. Their factory is 100% nut free. And their kernels are grown right here in the Shenandoah Valley. Mm. So locally sourced kernels. And it makes the perfect gift for literally any occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, Mother's Day, Father's Day. Stuff the stocking. Mm-hmm. You get the idea. And laughers get a 15% discount. Just use promo code LAUGH15 and get a 15% discount today when you head to prepopstress.com. That's PrePopstress.com. Now back to you, Jeff. It was good, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good. Goes well with the beer, too.
It does. See? I said it pairs well. Uh-huh. How does your brewery engage and contribute to the local community here in Front Royal and now Winchester, too? You have two communities you're serving in the Valley.
So we like to do, like, you know, Front Royal has always, like I said before, has always been our home and our baby. So we're kind of more, and we've been here longer. We've been here for 5 years. So we're invested in the community and growing the community. And then Winchester was kind of new to us. We don't have as many like roots in Winchester. We don't know as many people. So I think it took a little bit to just get people the word out and get people, like we would have regulars here. We would have people talking about it. And another thing is Winchester has some great breweries already. There's I think around five or six breweries there already. So just, you know, going there and trying to, you know, not like trying to collaborate with the other breweries and kind of set ourselves apart. You know, I know them personally. They're some of good friends of mine, and they're making great beer as well. So how to interact with them and how to, you know, bring people in to our place as well. So that was kind of a struggle at first, but we were able to do pretty well with getting over that hump. And I really do think, like, with both locations, like, we started this with craft beer being the focus and like really nerding out about craft beer, and maybe 5-10 years ago that was enough to get people in the door of just like, hey, we're making really good craft beer. Now, like I said, everyone's making really good craft beer, so I really do think we're trying to pivot and set both of the places up to be more of an experience when you come here, not just about the beer, but about the service and the food. We want, we don't, even though it says Vibrissa beer, like we want to try to strive and get the best food, the best service, the best experience for a person. Cause that's what's making people come back. Like if you have a great server out there and you don't have, you know, the best food and the best beer at a place, but that server really makes the difference, you might come back. So, so really getting all those together and focusing on the experience, we're doing more and more things like having events and having, you know, more stuff for different groups of people. So that, we're really focusing on like a community gathering space in Winchester in here rather than just like a brewery is kind of our next stage going forward. So that's what we're focusing on. And I think it's worked so far. The communities have been really great. Front Royal and Winchester, just with the exempteds. And I think like with a new business or a new brewery coming into town, people get like a little like competitive or anything like that, but that hasn't happened with us in either location. Like people have been really receptive, and the business owners around have like been very helpful, asking if we need any help or if they can like work with us in any way. So that it's been cool and a good experience. So
would you recommend that, or what actually would you recommend to a small business that's moving into a market where there is in your case, other breweries? What was your approach and what would you recommend in hindsight? Did you call them up? Did you walk into the brewery? Hi, my name is Jeff. I'm from Vibrissa.
I mean,
we're going to have a shop right next to you.
Yeah, no, we didn't do that. No, we've been,
how did you start establishing the working relationship?
Yeah, we've been, so Winchester's not that far away. So we've known them for about 5 years now and been making beards side by side, hanging out with them at festivals and stuff like that. So I don't think it was like once the word got out that we're opening, I think people I think they were okay with it. Yeah. I frequent the other breweries in town, and you know, they're still lively and people are there and hanging out. So I think our goal when we came into it, and same with Front Royal, is like the more better places that you can get in a little area like that,
the more business, the more like
it's a little piece of the pie. Yeah. Like, instead of everyone getting their little piece, we just make the pie bigger and then everyone gets more, you know? So that's kind of the approach we take. And you know, that's, if we can make more and more, great beer and great restaurants and great things to do in Winchester and Front Royal, I just think more of the word will get out and more people will, you know, come to the destinations. And then like, if you go into Winchester, you can have a whole beer day and go to 5 different breweries in that day. Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Can you tell us about some of the unique challenges and exciting milestones in your point of view in your journey with Vibrissa?
I think as an owner, you look at different aspects of a business and what's successful. And you know, there's some good things and bad things. One of the big ones that we're looking forward to is we're going to pay off one of our first loans here in a little bit in Front Royal from 6 years ago. So
that's exciting.
So that's like an owner one that I'm excited for as a milestone.
Lovely.
For the business though, you know, opening up Winchester was a big milestone for me. If you walk into it was always my dream to I'm from outside Philadelphia where I grew up on craft beer with one of my first brewing experiences going to Victory Beer, which is a big craft beer place in Pennsylvania. And I just remember going around there and seeing these huge tanks and being like, oh, that's so cool. I wish I could be a brewer one day and get into this business. And then going into Winchester, our tanks are that big and we have a huge facility. And I'm like, wow, this is
happening.
Coming full circle and realizing wow, this is one of my dreams when I was a little teenager of doing this. So that was a big milestone for me. You know, this was just opening up. This was awesome. But really seeing it scaled up was really impressive. And just how much beer we're making. And this is an actual business. This isn't just a little side project thing. So that was really cool for me. So I would say those are two good milestones for me and the business. So
yeah. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Now did the owners, this is another burning question in my mind. The 7 owners, did you know each other growing up or how did you all meet each other?
No. So through Front Royal, is how they got started. They all lived in Front Royal. Carrie Barnhart, which is also our president, owns Vibe Properties. So she came into this building actually, and then you know, the 7 owners kind of got together and we're talking about this business idea, and we all put in capital to kind of get it started. And we just all thought that Front Royal really needed a space like this to make really good craft beer and have a little experience and bring more to the town. So that's, I don't know if I answered the question, but that's kind of how we all came together. And I'm actually originally from Philadelphia, like I said, and I came down here because I heard about the idea, and I was really into craft beer in outside Philadelphia at the time. You know, I was obviously drinking craft beer, and then and then I would
which is why he was interested in craft beer.
Yes. But no, I was you know, I was in the home brewing scene. I was going to events. I was training beers and stuff like that. So I just got really into it, and then like I said before, that was kind of one of my dreams out of college was to do it. So I came down here and gave it a shot, not knowing anything about it. So
okay, you just knew you wanted to own a brewery.
I think I just like beer, and then the rest. I think the rest was just
how
came
can
it.
I be around beer every day?
Yeah. So yeah.
So you whipped out your wallet, mm-hmm. put down some capital on a brewery, and now you are around it every day.
Yep.
That's pretty great. You also have food options. We talked about that a little bit. You have gluten-free, too, and vegan and vegetarian dishes. Mm-hmm. Was that intentional? Did you all want to have those options?
So I'm not vegan or gluten-free or anything like that. I actually don't enjoy it as much as other people, but I will say that yes, it's always been part of our vision, and like I said before about that community and offering more things to people to for their enjoyment. Like when we talk about this meeting all the time, or in our management meetings, it's like if you have 1 to 3 vegan or gluten-free options, where the place next door doesn't, that vegan person or that gluten-free person, one, is going to be super appreciative. Two, I've realized more of them write reviews and talk with it. Like, it's a little niche community, vegans. So one, they talk about it to their vegan friends. They write about it in their blogs and reviews and everything like that. And they're so appreciative. I've talked to so many vegans here. They're so appreciative that we have something on the menu for them and that we cater to them that, yeah, maybe it's not our top selling item. It's never our top selling item, but that in a way, like, pays it back. You know, we get super good feedback, super good reviews, and they are so happy when they come in that it's just like, that's the rewarding part of the restaurant is, you know, all the hard work and then the end result of someone being like super happy coming to your establishment. So I would say it's worth it, and we're going to keep striving to do it. I know the kitchen isn't always a fan because
it can be different and there's more steps.
Yep. Stuff like that. So, but we're going to keep trying, and I really do think it's a good thing that everyone should look into, just offering, like they're so appreciative.
Yeah. Even it doesn't have to be a lot, you don't think.
Yeah. And then some of our beers are actually gluten reduced as well. So maybe not for like celiac people. Maybe they can't drink it. But if you have a gluten
sensitivity.
Yeah. Sensitivity. Our beers are a little bit better for you.
Which ones would those be? So they know to look for it, even if you can remember one or two.
I don't know off the top of my head. I know a lot of our West Coast IPAs and some of our lagers have it. So I'm not exactly sure, but you can ask the bartender and they whenever you're here, and they'll have that information for you. I just don't know what the tap list looks
now. So that's right, because it changes, right?
Yeah. We try and
how often?
Oh, every week we try and put something new on. You know, we always have our standbys and our mainstays, but we try and get something new, something different out every week for people to try. So.
And who makes that decision? Your head brewer?
Yeah. Okay. So brewing beer takes about 6 to, you know, to 10 weeks to brew, depending on the style. So we have to plan ahead a lot of the time. So we're always planning ahead. There's always tanks filled. And we're always like 6 weeks ahead of time of what we're doing and what we're planning and what we're going to release. So,
and there seems to be among the breweries this tenacious effort to come up with the most unique names for beers.
I would say so.
I mean, this is an observer outside the industry. I feel like you all get a little competitive about this. Am I right? I just sense a little bit of competitiveness.
Yeah. Like I said before, everyone's trying to stand out and trying to like create that wow factor. So I actually chuckle at a lot of a lot of the beer names that come out. And what you don't realize is a lot of them has been used before. So being creative enough to come up with a name that hasn't been used before is tough nowadays. Like, there's a lot of breweries and a lot of people are kind of taking the low hanging fruit. Luckily for us, we kind of stay in that lane of just like the outdoor experience, and like, we have kind of a guideline of how we want to name our names, but we'll do some one-off stuff that are pretty funny, or like if there's a holiday or like something that we're doing, you know, we'll create a beer for one-off or something. So it's fun, I will say. It gets, I think after six years doing it, I was much more enthused about the naming of the beer like in the first couple years than now.
Now you're like, yeah, that's
now,
fine.
Yeah, now just we're like please, like, someone give me a name for this beer. Like, we just need something. So
how about AI? You're gonna get some AI generated names?
We've used some ChatGPT before. maybe not for like the naming of the beer, but we'll generate ideas through it. Okay. I love ChatGPT just for like, I'm the marketing guy here too, so just for like ideas, and for you know if I type in like, give me 10 words about the Shenandoah Valley that are unique to Shenandoah, they can just like start the ball rolling, and then I can get like ideas going. Yeah. I don't,
it sparks like, the creativity.
Yeah. So that's what I like about it. But it's scary. Like, like, you can definitely run a lot of things off your business with
AI tools.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah, with AI tools today. So
I started incorporating it. It's not even on my question list. I'm just so curious about how that's all integrating with all the different industries.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely helpful. Whoever's not using it, it's just it's a nice time saver for like you said, for that creative process. Mm-hmm. And then like I asked it to write me a brew pub, like a food menu the other day. Oh. It did it in like 5 minutes, and I'm like, wow, this is like 50% of these things are what we already have on. Like, they did a pretty good job with it. So it's impressive. But yeah, I don't steal right from it, but I do like it as a little tool for marketing. So
okay, now here's a maybe it's a bizarre question to some, maybe it's not. Do you ever foresee in microbreweries robots as head brewers?
Possibly.
Okay.
Possibly. I would say that
crazy to think about.
No. Yeah. I think I don't think it's that crazy to think about.
I know,
a
right?
lot of it. So this is a lot more manual. This system, like, we need a couple people working here to make a beer. This is more manual. Our Winchester is automated for a lot of steps.
Oh, really?
Making it easier to brew there.
Okay.
So I don't know if we're there yet. And I think some of the beer we'll get you know, there's not as much uniqueness, but like, I gotta imagine Budweiser's almost there, where I'm sure like they're just cranking out batches where it's super limited manual work at this point, that at their stage and how they do. I'm sure they're just pressing buttons and moving along beer. So yeah, I don't think we're that far away, but I don't know.
I know, right? You could be hiring a humanoid in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's wild to think about. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, but I mean, as technology increases, like, you see like restaurants you see restaurants using like
robotic
servers that are bringing people to bring food to tables now. So I think anything's possible in the next 20 years here.
So. Yeah, that'll be very interesting. And then this new tap room that you opened up. Mm-hmm. Do you call it a tap room?
Yeah.
In Winchester?
Yep. Okay. We call it a tap room.
What was the designing and renovating process like? Oh, for that one and for here.
Yeah. So I'll talk about here first, and then I'll go into that. So this place is an old chop shop, and for
Model T. What's a chop shop?
Or for Model T. So it's a... Okay. It's like a car garage where they would kind of fix up Model Ts and
the 1920s.
Yeah. Car. And then after that, it became an auction house. So there's a bunch of just random stuff in here that was being auctioned off at times. But we got in here. We had a lot of build out. I think as you can see, like if you go to the main street, it's kind of like a very small opening that leads into the back of this building and kind of opens up a little bit more. It's been pretty good. I wish we could have done some things different now knowing this would have worked better over here and stuff like that. But Winchester, we do not own that building. We rent out from the old Winchester Star, which is a newspaper back in the day there. Lucky for us, newspapers are no longer as popular as they were. So they moved. So they moved from there. And it's a pretty big space. And talking to Tom Bird, the owner, who is great to work with. He's like, yeah, we don't really, it's too big of a space for just one restaurant. We don't really know what to do with it. So we walked in there the first day and we were on the fence about opening up another location. And like, this was doing well for us. And like, do we really want to do it all again? Yeah. Do you really want to do it all again?
Calculated risk.
And we walked into it and we're like, yeah, we got to do it. Like it is set up.
It was set up
to be a brewery. So we walked in, I think we only had to cut down like one wall or one little door in it, but the rest is as it was.
Very nice.
As it was in the print, or when they had printing presses back there and when they had offices and stuff. So it's pretty cool. And then some of our beers and some of our food items are named after like the Winchester Star. Like we have like the publisher Ruben and stuff like that. So
that's fun.
Giving a little tribute to them.
Yeah, speaking of tribute, did you keep any historical pieces from the building? Are there any parts of the printing press available?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So during demolition, we found some old Winchester Star papers, like stuffed in the wall and stuff.
Wow.
So we gave them back to the owner, but that was pretty cool finding. There's like when we got in there, there was just like ink everywhere, and then they had like metal mallets for fixing them that they left and stuff like that. So we kept the mallets and like we use them for just holding doors open and stuff like that. But no, there was like some stuff left over. It was cool. It was cool going in there and seeing what it used to be and then what it is now, I would say. Yeah.
How long of a process was it for each place in terms of between the decision and you bought it or you signed the lease to when you opened? How long of a process is that?
Probably a little bit longer here just for like, because I don't know what like the idea phase of this took a long time, I would say. So I would say about 2 years to open this, but like actually being serious, you know, once you start putting money into it, the time's ticking. The time's ticking. So you're just
Everybody's like, I put my money in this.
Yeah. Everyone would ask us, when are you opening? When are you opening? Yeah. And I'm like, as soon as we can, is always the best answer. But I think it took about 2 years from the idea of the concept to getting this place open. There's a lot of hiccups. Anyone opening up a brewery, you're going to go through a lot of you know, you got to deal with the town, you got to deal with like the building and just how everything works out. So there's going to be some hiccups going forward. But Winchester, I want to say that was about a year or two. That one was actually, I felt quicker. It's a bigger location. A lot more things going on. But I think it was easier and a little bit quicker than here. Mm. Just because of what I said about the whole, like, it was set up for a brewery when we walked in there. So there was like limited construction that we needed to do to make it, to convert it to what we needed.
Yeah.
So.
Did you start saving when you were a teenager because you knew you were going to open this brewery? Mm. I'm just picturing you're at this meeting. There's six other people that want to buy this thing, and I'm sure there's some number they gave you. And when they gave this number, where you're like, oh, yeah, I got this. So, or you're like, oh, crap.
So I am a minority owner of the, like, we have seven owners, but we're not all equal.
Okay.
So I'm a minority owner of this. I think I own about like 5%, maybe, maybe less than that. So I'm a like figurehead of a owner, you know. I say I'm an owner, but I don't have as much.
I got a piece.
That's all I needed. I just needed the name. No. I think like we all could put in how much we had at the time and how much we like to a certain amount to make it worth it. So definitely some people put in more and have a little more you know, say and everything, but. I think it's worked out in the end of things. I'm still here at least, so.
Yeah, you are.
That's a good thing.
That is good. I'm glad you're here too. This has been super fun. I want to talk about your sustainability practices and the brewing process. Okay. Do you have those?
So what do you mean by sustainability? Like
making our earth.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
happier.
Yeah. So
and
actually, we're kind of, so one thing that we do is all of our spent grains, and a lot of breweries do this. All of our spent grains go to local farmers here and are food for, their livestock. And, actually just the other day, our farmer came to us and is raising cattle. So our hope is to like have our spent grains, you know, go to his cattle, get the meat from him, and then like kind of go full circle as like farm to fork. That has some hiccups. We've tried that in the past, as well. So it's tough to do, but that's one of the things we do. We also recycle where, Front Royal doesn't take our recycling. So we have a little internal recycling program where all the cans that we use and everything like that, we'll take them to the local recycling place and kind of do our part that way. So yeah, we do some things. I would say we could probably do more. It's expensive to be green and to like do these things. Yeah. So like the more and more that we can do, we're trying to, but like I said, it's expensive for some things. Like, I don't know if we could go solar, you know, like have a bunch of solar panels, you know, stuff like that, where I see some of the breweries that are doing that, which is super cool.
Yeah. I see that too.
Yeah. So, so within our limitation, we're doing some things. But yeah, we could probably always do more.
We can all always do more, though, if we're honest with ourselves. There are a lot of breweries out there that do these collab releases. Mm-hmm. Do you guys do those too?
Yeah. All right,
can you talk about some of those that you've done recently or that are coming up maybe?
Yeah. You know? So in the brewing industry, collaboration between like... We, like I said before, there's not really secrets or anything in the brewing industry, and people aren't really out to like, you know, if you have a better product or if you think you have a secret, like people aren't really,
there's not really,
there's not really animosity. It's kind of like we're all working to get like that bigger piece of the pie thing. I was talking, we're all working together to make better craft beer. So, we have a bunch of friends all over the United States that we've done stuff with. We kind of like collaborations where you either go to the place and you know, like hang out with the brewers, or they come here and we like put them up for a little bit, for a day or something, and brew beer together. A lot of collaborations. I could just like call up someone and be like, hey, like, can I put your name on the beer for marketing or something like that? But we really like interacting and actually learning and talking about it. So, one that we did recently was with, Kushwa up the street, they're about an hour away in Maryland here. They're some great people, some of best beer in Maryland, I think. We did that recently. We were up in PA, before that at, Dancing Gnome. We've done a bunch in VA, in DC, and like northern VA area. We've done a couple, so we could always do more as well of those. It's great marketing because like you can get their beer in their tap room, they can have their beer here and their name and stuff like that. So it's a great marketing technique. But we're always looking to do more. I think some guys came in the other day looking to do one. So maybe we'll get with them and try and get something going. So
that's like cross promotion.
Yep.
Yeah. So the way the collabs work, if I'm hearing you right, is that brewery that just came in to explore the possibility.
Yeah.
Let's say they say, yes, we're in, we're going to do this with Vibrissa. Let's do it. You guys decide between you whether you're going to that brewery or they're coming to this brewery to make it.
So
is that how that works?
After the collab is initiated, then it all goes to the brewers, and the brewers like kind of talk about it. Okay. The brewers will talk about the recipe of the beer, like the style of beer they want to create, the recipe that they want to do. Usually it's something unique so that like both brewers can try something different, or if one has more knowledge about one topic, you know, like, you know, we decocked our lagers here, which is a traditional German step that you can do to your lagers that some breweries don't have access to doing that. Like this brewery cannot decocked lagers, our Winchester one can. So breweries might come to us and be like, hey, we're really interested in learning about decocting and step mashing and stuff like that. Can we do a lager with you guys, and just for learning purposes? So then we would do that in Winchester. I think it also has to do with like what, you know, some breweries are big on certain styles and like are famous for the, or like more popular for those certain styles. So if I was doing one, a popular brewery is in Richmond is the Vale, you know, and they do really good hazy IPAs and really good fruited sours and stuff like that. So going to them to increase my knowledge and to increase my hype, I would probably try and do one of those beers with them because I know that that's what they're good at and that's what sells for them and everything like that. So when people come to us, we really care about our West Coast IPAs and our lagers. So usually it's one of those two that people are looking
at. People come here.
That people would want to do with us is typical, but like we like doing weird stuff too, so we'll like, you know, if there's something we've never done before, we'll pitch it out there and like see if someone wants to try it out with us. So
I'm so glad I asked that question, Laffers, because I do like beer too, and I hear about all these collabs, and it just occurred to me, like, how do they do that? We just got behind the scenes on how collabs work. That's really cool.
It's really good for owners and people like me because I don't do anything. I just like I come strolling in and I take the pictures. I just take pictures and hang out and like drink some beer. I'm like, yeah, I'm part of this collab, guys. Where the brewers are over there actually brewing the beer and working hard and like, yeah, you suck.
They're getting the word. Yeah, so, people are doing things.
Yeah. So collab days are great for me. I'll say that.
I love it. What do you envision for the future of Vibrissa beer? What do the owners and what legacy do you all hope to leave in the craft beer industry?
getting into it.
I know. Take a minute to think about it.
Yeah. I mean, we've been in it for, like I said, 6 years now, and we've learned a lot. So I guess the legacy or what I want to leave on, I think it just goes back to like that interaction that I had with a customer. Mm-hmm. If I can get more people to have our beer and like influence those people through beer and through like the interaction they had at my tap room, I've had people that will email me and say like, Hey, I live in Texas. Like I was traveling in the Shenandoah Valley. I had park pass. I can't find beer like that around here. Like how can I get that beer? What can I do to get that beer? Like that is my favorite beer of all time. Mm-hmm. Like getting that response from someone that, and having more of those and more people like having them have park passes the favorite beer, that's what's rewarding to me, I think. And then like the same with like the service and the food here. Mm-hmm. if someone reaches out to us is like, or even we have a in Front Royal, we were talking about this before, we have a base camp facility. Yeah. For through hikers where they can come off the Appalachian Trail is only 5 minutes away from here, so hikers can come off the trail. They can shower, they can wash their clothes, and then mm-hmm. come and have a beer and something to eat. And that they are so appreciative of that. They write us. They write us cards. They'll message us and just say how thankful they are and how appreciative mm-hmm. they are. So for that, for me, that's what's rewarding about this business. And then the same with the beer and the food. If like people message us saying that's the best burger they've ever had, that's the best beer they've ever had, like, I just want more and more of that, I think, is what I want for the brewery. And the way to do that is just growing the footprint and growing mm-hmm. like how many people can access this, how many people can experience this. So like, you know, we don't make a lot of money in distribution, but if my beer is in New York and someone happens to pick up a park pass and be like, oh, this is cool. Where is this from? Oh, Front Royal. I've never been there. And they look it up and they want, oh, I'm going to do a vacation there. They come mm-hmm. to the brewery. You know, I think that's what I want. And that's how I want to grow this business, is just, you know, bring more people to the area and realize that Front Royal is a beautiful place. The Shenandoah Valley has so much to offer.
Yeah.
And then we're making great beer out here too, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I kind of want to get the message out for.
I love the message. Mm-hmm. This base camp, I don't think I'm sure there's more than one brewery that does this base camp.
I know.
Anything in the world, I'm sure, right?
I think.
Or is this relatively unique that you all have?
I think it's pretty unique. Okay. We're like, I know Devil's Backbone has a place that they call Base Camp, which is also really cool.
Right.
That is like, you can camp there. They have like stuff. They have a bunch of stuff going on. It's kind of like a satellite campus of their main place. They call it Base Camp. I don't know if they have like the showers and stuff for hikers and everything. So, mm-hmm. So it's one thing that's cool about us is like, we were set up to be for technical hikers. Right next to our base camp is also an outdoor store that is for mm-hmm. technical hiking. And we kind of set it up where like, we know what these hikers need and want, and they don't want a lot. They just want a place to hang out for the day, take a zero day, wash up, and then you know, wash their clothes and then get right back on the trail. A lot of community members and local sober will come into base camp and like bring fresh towels, bring fresh food, like stuff for the hikers to get. So they're super appreciative of it. And I hear some of the best stories from those hikers. They're really, really mm-hmm. unique group of people and cool.
Yeah. So when you all put in Vibrissa, did you automatically build the base camp in, or is that something that came after you opened this place?
It was an original idea. It came, I think, a little bit after we opened the brewery.
All right.
But we were trying to open up the brewery as fast as possible to get, you know, revenue because we were losing money. It was always a we just didn't know what to do with that space. And then someone was like, well, we could do a little community thing for the hikers and stuff like that. We were very influenced by Asheville and that area, just the hiking, the breweries, the food, the experience that you have. It's like a very hipster open community of just like people are so nice and welcoming there. So we really wanted, like, while the brewery was the business model, we really wanted, the overall goal was to make Front Royal a mini Asheville, and like that hiking town, that like that outdoor town. And I think it has worked it's not as big as like Asheville, North Carolina, but it has worked where we're getting more and more hikers, more and more people coming out, more and more tourists are coming out to this area to get the beauty and to get the hiking and all the views and everything that you can experience out here. So
that's right.
Yeah.
And we have been talking about some hiking, but again, I'll remind all the laughers.
Yeah, sorry. I got to keep it about beer.
This is a podcast about all things non-hiking in the Shenandoah Valley. And you know what, hikers? This is a great podcast for you because you do want some breaks and you do want to be able to see and do things. You can only hike for so long. So tell a friend, tell a hiker friend about this podcast and subscribe. I would love if you could share as we wrap up here how the laughers can stay up to date with Vibrissa Beer, buy it. How can they follow you on social media or otherwise to learn all about you?
Yeah, so if you're ever interested in coming here, you could obviously find us on Google and go to our website and check out what we got going on. We're also, I run the social media account. So Vibrissa_beer is our Instagram handle. And then we're also Vibrissa Beer on Facebook as well. So you can go and give them a follow. And then we try and keep up weekly and daily of just what's going on, what events we have, what new beers and new food we got going on. So but yeah, that's how you can follow us.
Yes, and laughers, I highly encourage you to do this. And when you come in, just as a little side note, you're probably wondering where's this base camp in this brewery? You won't miss it. As you walk down their hallway into the tap room, it'll be on your left hand side, and it's got a wall mural that says base camp and all of that, so you can't miss it. And we would love for you to come here, wouldn't we, Jeff?
I would love it. I would definitely appreciate it if you come check us out. So.
Yes, do that. Thank you so much, Jeff. This has been super fun chatting it up with you today about all things Vibrissa Beer. I loved it. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I had an awesome time with you.
Yes, and I must also thank you for the beer.
Yeah, so. One of the perks.
That's right. This podcast ain't all bad. And laughers, to learn more about Vibrissa Beer, please visit their website at vibrissabeer.com. That's vibrissabeer.com. And we will make sure that is available for you in the show notes as well. So if you're working out or driving, please don't worry about that. Stay safe and grab them there. Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast, The Virginia Is for Laughers. And we want you to like, share this video, and subscribe to our channel. As I mentioned in the previous podcast, you can watch me get my act together putting this video podcast together. So, hey, you can see the improvements week by week. Thanks for being one of my early guinea pigs.
No problem.
I appreciate it. Also, don't forget that discount on Pre-Popsteress. When you go to their website today, use LAUGH15. You'll get 15% off, and you can munch on it when you join me on next week's episode. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special. special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womack and Friends. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to a FWAF show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to thefunnywomax.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.